नमस्कार सौंद चाद श्री भूपाद की जय ओम विष्णु उपा महंत कतारसी तुम्हारे जमा वैसे कान सौंद चाद श्री भूपाद की जय ओम विष्णु उपा महंत पत्र कतारसी तुम्हारे जमा वैसे भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती रिको महाराज की श्री नाम चाद हरि राष्ट्र को की प्रेम से हो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री सुद्वैत गृहा श्री वासुदेव की गो भक्त बिंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण साइमर सुधार को निगिरी गोदान की वृंदावन धाम की मथुरा धाम की नवद्वीप धाम की यमुना माई की गंगा माई की राशी देवी की भक्ति देवी की समवेद भक्तिविंद की ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू समवेद भक्ति ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गुरु अंकल I was trying before you came in to find something I was going to read. So to make it the whole thing simple for me to express, but somehow Krishna didn't let me find it. So I'm going to try to say a few short things. Try to control my emotions so I can get the message across. My heart is open up, so my emotions are a little more intense. So let me just kind of cue everybody into what I think is happening. First, if you look at my Vyas Puja last year, you look at the one that comes out this year, everything is self-explanatory. If you also look at the preface to my Spiritual Warrior 4 and 5, it clarifies something. The essence of what's discussed in there, especially in the one in this year, which I was trying to read, or we're going to let one of you read it, is that in this Vyas Puja offering, I made a prayer to Prabhupada, or I made the writing to Prabhupada, that I've lived 54 years, and I felt that I've done, experienced, whatever material things I want to experience, I've experienced. Spiritually, I've experienced everything, except the highest level of purity. And in that offering, I mentioned that, is similar to last year's. So many people in the secular world are suffering, and so many of those in devotee communities are suffering. I was looking in devotee communities, so many divorces, most of our children not accepting our philosophy, many people losing faith, and many people not understanding how deep and real the Krishna consciousness is, because their level of commitment is superficial. So basically I said, I don't want to be a part of this. Basically I said to my spiritual master that the only way to make serious difference is that more, especially the leadership, are going to have to reach a higher level of purity. And I offered myself, as I did yesterday, and I explained that. I offered myself to Prabhupada, and I said, so whatever is necessary. Now, in the Vyas Puja offering, I'll backtrack. I said, so I'm ready to experience whatever can allow a quantity number of people to be relieved of their suffering. So I asked if I could experience whatever I have to experience, to allow, you know, I'm always flamboyant and passionate, arrogant, ego. So I said, I want a quantity number of people to be able to experience relief from their suffering so they can become more Krishna conscious. And I'm ready to accept whatever may come on me that will also purify me in the process, but will make it easier for a quantity number of devotees. That's my offering you'll see coming in this Vyas Puja. I offered that offering for the coming year. In other words, I wrote a letter to Prabhupada presenting this and saying, this is what I am ready to do next year. But if you want it to happen this year, let it be. So I kind of expected next year I was going to be leaving. Not this year. Now, yesterday, when I went in to do the CAT scan, As I laid on the machine to try to see if the cancer had spread to other parts of the body, I offered my full body essence to Srila Prabhupada. 10 minutes later, we found that the cancer was at least the fourth level. So, from all material considerations, I have melanoma cancer. It's not just skin; it's like it's this huge, you know, tumor, and so it's like my whole foot. This whole foot is just packed with cancers. Now, all this came overnight. This happened some short time after making this prayer. In 1 week's time, well, in 2 weeks, 2 weeks' time, because I was going to travel, and I came from Canada and Detroit, and I had such pain in my foot that I couldn't sleep. I never had that. A week later, I was supposed to travel, so I realized this is an indicator that I need to check on this. I was going to wait till I did this world tour, wait till I come back in November, and I realized I was going to have to hone in, and I thought this would be, you know, the next year coming, there would be some gradual, you know, things happening. Although many of you have noticed that in the last year, I've been talking a lot about perhaps leaving. Even in Detroit, I mentioned some things like that. I wasn't planning on doing that. It wasn't my desire. It still is not my desire. My desire is not to stay or to leave. Whatever can help serve better, whatever is a call of my guru. But my desire is that I am not willing to maintain at this level of consciousness while I see so many people suffer. Okay. And I'm convinced that I'm going to help do something. Now, whether it's leaving from here and having influence, or whether it's staying, in whatever way I stay. Now things have been a jet path, rocket speed. In just, you know, less than 10 days, find out the tumor is worse. I go to several surgeons and oncologists, in Detroit. They tell me I got to have surgery right away. So I come back to Washington where I can be able to convalesce and whatever. So I meet with a top surgeon here who says it's got to come out, whatever it is. They saw the MRI, saw the slides, x-rays. Nobody had any clue that it was cancer in the slightest. As a matter of fact, from the MRIs, it suggested that the tumor is able to be taken out because previously I didn't have it taken out. 20 years ago when I first started getting some little trouble because I went then later 10 years ago and had a biopsy. And the biopsy, they said, it's benign, but if I have it taken out, I'd probably lose function of the foot. So then just recently I started getting more trouble. And last year in India, I had also checked with a surgeon at the Bhaktivedanta Hospital. He said the same thing. So then I had acupuncture. Acupuncture seemingly helped to center it all together, to raise it up so it's a little more off the bone. Then the acupuncturist, after 6 treatments, also said I should have surgery. So here I got it from the allopathic as well as, naturopath. So this surgeon said he felt he could take it out without my losing control of the foot. When he went in for the when I went on the operation table, he cut it, and he said he knew something was wrong then, that the whole skin changed. So I have a birthmark on this foot. This whole foot is black. So the whole foot is like sort of similar to, I don't know, it's like a mole. So when he cut it, he said he knew something was wrong. After the operation, he told Madhava that he thought I had cancer. Madhava couldn't tell anybody because, you know, they had to have the pathologist and the doctor could be sued, you know, for malpractice, for my hearing from some other source. So they sent it to the pathologist. The pathologist called him that night and told him I have advanced melanoma and cancer. So I came in 5 days later for the checkup after the operation just to see how the stitches were. And the doctor had a kind of a grave, solemn face. And he said, you know, I enjoy being a doctor. It's why I took this profession and help people. But this part I don't like. And so he said, I had a suspicion in the operation that you had cancer. And he said, we sent it to the pathologist, And he confirmed it. He said, it's very serious, and you have to do something right away. So he tried to call the surgeon right while we were there so we could see the surgeon. Because his first mindset was, you know, you just got to have amputation. Whatever's going on, you got to have amputation. So Madhava thought we should walk it through because they have, you know, one of the best melanoma cancer clinics here at the Washington Hospital Center, where they focus only on that. So I went to see them there. And the head of the center came in and then brought in about 7 or 8 people and then brought in his camera. And I knew that is the same thing happened when I had the biopsy. It was an unusual case. They brought in 7 or 8 people, 10 people, took cameras, didn't have any opening for me for 2 months, but said that they really wanted to know themselves, and they put me in, you know, a week later. Did the biopsy at that time. At that time, it was considered to be benign. But they told me I should check it from time to time because it could turn into cancer. So having no clue anything like that was going to happen, but knowing something was going on, very unusual, totally out of my control and total out of normal circumstance. Because when I went in for the pre-op work, the doctor called me that same night also, very disturbed, and said, Mr. Favors, you can't have operation now. You have, you know, you have serious diabetes, and you have to check in with a primary care and get, you know, medicated and have this under control. Now, I had no symptoms of diabetes. I told the doctor there must be a mistake because I've had blood work only like 14 days ago, and I have a lot of diabetes in my family, and I have, you know, I get checks, you know, almost every year. And of course, what I was able to understand later is maybe some of the blood test work that I had, it didn't go specifically in looking at this. But I had blood work just in Detroit, and they said the blood work was okay. But I was almost 400, you know, which is very high. So here in like 10 days, I have this accelerated tumor. I have sugar diabetes. I get the operation, and then I find that I have cancer. The MRI, nothing seemed to suggest this. The previous blood work. So my intuitive understanding or reflection is that Prabhupada seems to be calling me back. Maybe not. That the prayer has been heard, the prayer has been accepted. Now how and what he does with it, I'm okay. If it means, see, right, like right now, devotees are praying for me all over the world. You know, I ain't dying tomorrow on a table, you know, dying. Although they told me that the survival rate is about 7 to 19% or something. But the way devotees are doing 24-hour kirtan, the way the leaders are praying, you know, got string of letters, they're doing special pujas in you know, in Mayapur and Sringadev pujas. They're dedicating, I think, tomorrow the series of bhajans in England to my health cure. So many things. So many different countries, different devotees, different leaders, etc. Now, I see all of this as Krishna allowing me to have more purity, more potency to stay to change, or he's allowing me to help others as well as myself to focus deeper in the fact, like in our leadership, to focus deeper in that we have to be ready to constantly go the extra mile for the devotees. Now my life is a life of enjoyment, almost spiritual enjoyment. I traveled 35, 40 countries a year, last few years, seminars, workshops, TV, everywhere, Moscow, Ukraine, Australia, every place, you know, national TV. And, you know, devotees there taking care of you in so many ways, in most cases taking care of the tickets. And so, and everywhere I go, you know, I got a house to stay, a place to stay with the disciples and so many things. And so, it's like, why should I be having this kind of experience when so many devotees on welfare, so many devotees can't figure out, don't have insurance, even if they get sick. So many devotees, you know, mental disturbance. That's why I wrote Spiritual Warrior 4 and 5. Just seeing the number of devotees who have mental disturbances, and also as well as in the, you know, the material society. So I believe this philosophy. I'm totally convinced this is not my first round with Prabhupada. I'm totally convinced that what I do doing now is not the first time I've ever done this. But I'm also aware of the potency of allowing yourself to be used. There's a price to pay, and there's consequences. And so, whatever that price is what I said I'm ready to do. So now, how Prabhupada makes this whole thing unfold, I don't have a clue any more than than you do. If he continues the rate it's going now, I'm out of here. Because everything has been like very fast. Boom, boom, boom. They're looking at the CAT scan to find out if they see cancer in other parts of the body. I have all the symptoms that I do have it. I have, tightness of heart or in the lung area. I have gurgling in the lungs. I have swollen lymphs in some places, So externally, I have all the symptoms that is in other places also. It may not be. The doctor told me that, because I told him, I said, you let me know what is the best you think possible and what is the worst from what you are sensing from the initial report. He said, the best is that we don't find it in the body. We amputate the foot, but most likely it's still subtly, if it's really four, or because the last report said it was four plus. We had one person to do the analysis. We had a second by asking for the top, we found out who the top person, evaluator in that department, and we sent it to her. Her conclusion was that it's at least four. And she gave some other indications. So hers was, in one sense, the worst. But their conclusion was that even if it doesn't vividly show now, if it's to that degree, as they have found it to be in the foot, that more than likely will surface. So much of my service is being physically present. So much of my service is encouraging devotees to kirtan, coming together in different ways. So I personally would rather not have to remain if I don't have this foot. With getting cut off and then later the chance of cancer coming back and going to chemo. Because, sannyasi and anyone, life has so much more to do about trying to serve. And I don't want to be in a position where I can't serve, where I just got to be dependent. I mean, now I'm hopping around on crutches and crawling around. And I'm learning, I'm getting orientated that way. The last almost 2 weeks I'm just sitting here on the bed, sitting here with the foot up. And, that's not me. So, but this ain't about me. And so Prabhupada wants me to have the amputation, and this way that I strengthen my consciousness, remind you and others about strengthening your consciousness, I live on until some other time, or it comes back and gradually leave, it's okay. Or if he's okay, if I'm leaving now, then he keeps on speeding things up, and we just go on that way. So this is the sum in essence, is that it's what I asked for. I don't take the prayer back. One or two of my God brothers asked me to take it back. I said, no. because I didn't join the society, or I didn't participate in what Prabhupada has given us, because I'm just accepting it as a religion. Or it's theoretical. And if I really believe it, then I believe in Krishna's mercy, however it may come. Yesterday I was talking to Bhakti Tru Maharaj, and Ramaphosa saw me. And I was saying, whatever happens for me now, it's auspicious. Because if I leave, it's auspicious because I had so much chance to express something, prepare many of you, and also to get the prayers and the blessings. So I leave with blessings that focus me more with Srila Prabhupada. If I stay, I've created a wave, and it's going to continue for a while. Some people will come together more as we are beginning to leave, more as, the leaders. People will become more sensitive to being more careful with their own spiritual masters, trying to connect with them physically and the message. If I leave, You know, I have Krishna's been kind to me. I got some new books and things out that has pretty much given everything that I wanted to say to anyone in that sense of my way of trying to share what Srila Prabhupada has given me and my realizations. And I've given the kind of seminars, especially in the last 2 years, where I've tried to get the devotees to go beyond just the ritual, the dogma, look closer at what's going on, you know, in their particular lives. So, I saw, okay, auspicious. Auspicious if I stay, auspicious if I leave. Because it will be the call of Prabhupada, and it will be the call of the mercy of the Vaishnavas. And I don't in any way think that Prabhupada and Krishna will deny the prayer that I gave to try to be more available or be used more to some way to make Krishna consciousness a little more available and accessible for others who are in the process but who are either losing faith or struggling in such a way. So that's kind of, you know, where I'm at now. I'm not being a fatalist. Some people may feel, the last 2 weeks that I've been kind of accepting too much that I'm leaving. But they have seen that every time a report came out, it was worse. Each thing was worse. So the pattern is moving fast to some kind of closure. And whatever that closure is. Now, while I'm saying this, you know, I'm looking at all the different allopathic and holistic alternatives. I'm even anticipating maybe going to, you know, to a clinic, as long as they have allopathic care as well. You know, I'm looking at, I have a few people researching to see about some places in San Diego, in California, in India. But the concern is, do they address melanoma cancer at, you know, this level, at this stage? And if they do have some success rate or they had some experiences, then I'll consider that. But I'll consider it that not so much that I'm either going to get healed or not healed, but I consider it that if an opportunity is there, then I'll take it that Prabhupada wants me to go through all of the necessary as he makes his decision, so that people won't feel that, well, you know, I could have stayed if I would have had this treatment or that treatment or whatever. But I'm not there because I know it's beyond just the ordinary. And everybody's situation is, we're all much more than what physically happens to us. But the more we make ourselves available to Krishna and to our gurus, the more we will be a puppet, in essence. So, you know, I'm happy but shocked also because I didn't anticipate it happened this fast. I didn't anticipate it happened, you know, this year. I was dropping some seeds, considering that, you know, maybe another year. But then I said, but then my prayer was, but if you want to do it this year, then, you know, then I'm okay, I'm ready. So any questions? So I got through that. That is an individual personal experience. Yeah. We have our ultimate shiksha with Srila Prabhupada, and individual shikshas, that's up to the individual person. Not like I'm going to direct everybody to go to point to a certain particular person. It is Krishna that you want, and therefore you have to look at who inspires you that Krishna is coming through for you, and therefore one has to take that consideration. Spiritual master physically or not physically present, the instructions are there. But we do need to have physical contact with some mentor, some type of mentor. Whether it's another guru, whether it's an older devotee, whether it's an older god brother or god sister, or whether it's all of those. Best if it's all of those. Best that even when guru is physically here, that you have other shikshas from all sectors. From the guru sector, as well as, you know, from the Vaishnava Sangha sector. let me see, in general. We should never try to engage in this process just on our own or just with our own spiritual master. Because it's a culture. And the divine interventions and opportunities, they come from so many sectors. And the Maya texts come from so many sectors. Devotees who only have a connection with their guru, unless they're very advanced and they're very connected, when their guru leaves, they'll be the first to have trouble. Sometimes devotees who have mainly had service and physically being with the guru will have the greatest trouble, because so much of their connection with guru has been with the physicality. Physical presence gives something, yes, something is there. Physical presence, the guru can encourage you, he can chastise you. You can get immediate reciprocation on something. But the physical presence is you know, it's secondary. Vishnu, maybe turn the air conditioner up a little bit more. I think there's so many people in here, they may be kind of hot. Or maybe I'm just feeling feverish. I've been writing this theme a lot in the last year and a half about the significance of mercy in connection with effort. Just recently I was explaining how Vishwanath Chakravarti discusses in the Damodar Leela how the rope is always 2 inches too short. And the 2 inches too short, this is in reference to catching, binding Krishna. They're 2 inches too short because the ropes represent effort and mercy. So in order to capture Krishna, there must be a certain quality of effort. And that effort brings a certain quality and quantity, let me see, of mercy. Mercy doesn't just descend without being invited in general. We can't just go on mercy without posturing ourselves or preparing ourselves or being ready to sacrifice to get it. Nor can we think that our own external involvements and achievements will bring the success. See, this is why when I made that prayer that I wanted to be upgraded. It's like my prayer was, I've been riding economy class and I want to ride first class so I can be in a position to help more. So it's like, I'm not anyway ready to justify doing as I've been doing, seeing the number of people suffering and not being able to make a significant change, a significant difference. So now, you know, there's kind of three, you know, scenarios here. Is that Prabhupada could be taking me away, saying, well, if you're not ready to continue what you're doing, and if what you're experiencing is too much pain on you, or what you're experiencing in terms of not seeing enough people change, because that was my issue, is that not enough people in this kind are changing, there's too much suffering, too much divorce, too much children who are not playing into the society, that externally society is somewhat a failure. Internally, of course, it is there, it is very potent, but my sentimentality is that the external aspect of it is too much from what I can deal with, and I want to be involved in changing it. So I offer myself like for sacrifice in that sense. So the three scenarios is that Prabhupada is saying, okay, you intolerant person, intolerant disciple, then I'm going to send you somewhere else then. If you're not ready to do as it is now, this is what the institution is, this is where it's going to be, and if you are not ready to do what you have to do based on that, then you rascal, I'm just going to take you away from that, to somewhere else. That's one scenario. The other scenario is that Prabhupada is saying, okay, I'm going to take you away, and I'm going to allow wherever I take you to have more influence on what goes on here physically, even though you will not be in the physical body. The other is that I'm going to leave you here, and I'm going to leave you in such a state that you're going to be very deep with purity, because you don't have anything else to depend on but Krishna. And so you're going to be in that state of physical dependence. Or what seems to be the case is that I'm going to speed everything up, bring these things on you quick to take you out very fast. So I see, you know, all of these. And as I said, I'm ready for either one. Now, that prayer and those desires that I wrote in this Vyas Puja, and last year's, when you get back to your temples, you get home, you just read my last Vyas Puja, and you'll see that this is not something that just happened overnight, really, in terms of the mindset. Or look in the spiritual warrior 4 and 5, and you see in the preface, I say, I was traveling so many countries, seeing so many devotees suffering. And so these are some of the seminars I gave, and then I thought I should write it in a book to make it more available to help people with some of these issues. So, which of those, I don't know. But when I went under that machine, I offered the body yesterday, that Prabhupada, whatever is what is going to have the greatest spiritual effect to please you and to serve the Vaishnavas, let that happen, and I'm ready to accept it. So it's effort and mercy. We have to be careful what efforts we do, because every effort brings some concomitant reciprocation. We have to be careful in knowing that the Maya is bigger than any of us. The other day after Ratha Yatra, you know, I was giving a class and I was crying, and I was saying how, you know, we see devotees like Tetsu Maharaj and all these wonderful devotees undergoing certain kinds of struggles, that we have to all look in closer to get a deeper perspective of Krishna consciousness, to get a deeper understanding of how Maya is so powerful, but to get a deeper understanding of why we need, you know, greater protection, because it's available. And we also have to have a deeper compassion for devotees who are going through their kind of purification as they're being, you know, brought into Prabhupada. Different devotees have different ways of how they're being brought into their purification. What is happening to Satsarupa Maharaj, in some ways, is like totally bewildering in so many ways. But behind all of that is that Krishna is arranging whatever is necessary at this point in his life so that he will be fully brought back in Prabhupada's secure. And so, therefore, all gross and subtle things have to come forth. When Tamal Krishna Maharaj left his body, nobody anticipated him, knew him leaving. It was very abrupt in the holy dawns, and it was very transcendental. He didn't leave his body from assault from the car, from the accident. He had a heart attack. So that means Krishna created a situation that produced a heart attack in the sacred place to bring him back. He was making his preparations for doing certain kind of work. His PhD was almost finalized. He was ready to do much more in the arenas of institution and in the world. Prabhupada's plan was, I want you to do it this way. I knew that in this next year that I had to, that an extreme shift was going to take place. See, as devotees, we're not to just be concerned with only ourselves as devotees, we'd be concerned about the world. The world is in tremendous, tremendous complexity. Tremendous lies are going on, you know, to the public. Tremendous posturing is going on. Tremendous things are being accepted that are sinful. Are being accepted as okay, as fads. Tremendous things that are deviations. People don't even wink about a lot of it because it's become so ingrained. Tremendous culture of fear, you know, is pervading. And tremendous external diseases are increasing. Now, if you look at the depression and Alzheimer's disease and cancer, I mean, all of these things is a sign of just so much unnatural activities and consciousness. So the planet is sick. And the people are sick. I have an ego, you know. Or maybe I'm backed up. But I have a understanding that major transformation is possible. I have an understanding that major assaults are on the planet and major opportunities for empowerment, you know, is available. And I have an understanding that entities can be in line for that empowerment. And so it's a matter of positioning oneself. That's kind of what I'm asking for. It's like I'm really asking Prabhupada, Prabhupada, your mission is in trouble. We'll be in more trouble in the near future due to just what is going on in the world, due to the general mentality of most of the devotees who don't follow very strictly. They're not understanding, nor am I fully understanding, how this is such a benediction right from the spiritual arena. So while simultaneously wanting to help them to understand, I simultaneously want to upgrade or purify myself that I understand better and that I can be available to be more of a powerful Nusa change agent, whatever that may entail. Any other questions? So you notice that I'm not actually saying anything that I haven't been saying for several years. You may be hearing it a little bit different now, knowing that, you know, as you start seeing me, you may see the body begin to deteriorate, or you may see me, you may not see me for a while, I may have to go off to some place, and, you know, you may not see me with this kind of physical strength. And so, you know, one becomes more aware. It's like the last few days of realizing that, you know, there could be this very serious cancer. And accepting that it is. And just becoming so much more mindful, you know. I had so many plans. I got all these tickets, thousands and thousands of tickets to visit places. And I'm scheduled for seminars and workshops and, you know, so many different places. I was seeing disappointed devotees because they paid money for the tickets and people coming because of the lineup of leaders is going to be there and so many different things. And how my whole life, especially devotional life, I've always been like, I've always organized to the point that almost every half an hour I'm reflecting on what I'm going to be doing or some clarity about, you know, what I can do. And so, I'm like a big controller in that sense. And now to be in a situation where each day is like out of my control is a greater already intensification of Krishna consciousness. And I can see just in the last few days already how my Krishna consciousness, you know, has intensified. How my connection with Prabhupada is, you know, is growing. Mm-hmm. You raise it? Oh. Is that handy? Mm-hmm.
Maharaj, you have been such a synergy,
Not really. It's like in Detroit, I looked at the devotees and I said, you know, half of you in the room are not even following the principles. No. So I said, so we have to look closer at ourselves to see how we are really taking what Prabhupada has given us seriously. Mm-hmm.
But we've always had a representative. As you say, you couldn't be without your feet. I mean,
right.
You preach with your feet. You preach. Your presence is so magnanimous. I may be partial, but there isn't another.
Just go to the point. Just go to the point.
A spiritual matter.
I'm not here to be glorified. You know, I'm here to. I want to consider about the people's suffering. Go ahead.
There isn't, from my point of view, another guru that has your.
That is not true. When you say that, then you're like the Ritviks, who say that Prabhupada is the only one. It is Krishna, and Krishna can come through a dog. What to say of anyone? So don't ever think, I mean, it's a good sentiment for a wife to think she has the best husband, a husband to think that she has the best wife. But to think that stops there, that's improper. And those who think that way, you'll have the most trouble when your gurus leave. You appreciate your spiritual masters as giving you something special, but you accept that special is because Krishna is coming through. And Krishna, whatever happens, wherever you are, where the guru is, Krishna is still there.
Mm-hmm. Maharaj, it always seems that wherever we are in life, that the struggles that we're facing are the deepest that we've ever faced, and that we can't imagine how we'll get through.
Mm-hmm. They'll get deeper.
Yeah. You know, how can we get that realization that whatever we're facing right now is easily passed, and that we can get through it and be able to see Krishna and become deeper in ourselves. How do we get that realization?
We have to focus more on Krishna's embrace and his love. That Krishna sometimes calls the entity forth very lovingly, very sweetly, by all kinds of wonderful playing of the flute and embraces. But sometimes Krishna shows his love by arranging other agents to do it for him, to come from the back and to bring us into his embrace. So when we see whatever happens as Krishna's way of vibrating and sending out his love, we don't have to be in denial and feel, I'm very comfortable with Krishna's love coming this way or that way. No, we should be honest. That it's shocking, it's overwhelming, it's disturbing. But we shouldn't go out of that boundary of thinking that Krishna's not in control, or that it's not an expression of Krishna's love. I mean, we see how Prabhupada's last days, you know, his body, he wasn't eating, he wasn't sleeping, he wasn't any of the functions. It was just bones. And you all saw the video where up to the last, you know, moments, Prabhupada is still trying to speak, you know, to get his books out. And so that can seem, you know, very harsh, that Krishna is being, you know, very harsh, but no. When Bhishma Deva land on the bed of arrows, that could also seem very harsh. But it was in that situation of Bhishma being at the point of death that Krishna and brought Yudhisthira and the Pandavas all to hear something very special for being able to rule the kingdom. You know, here Krishna comes and they're so attentive to what Yudhisthira is saying, of what Bhishma is saying in the battlefield where he's about to leave. So it unfortunately, for most of us, we don't really focus deeply unless there's crisis. Most times in history, things don't change unless there's like really abrupt situations that take place. Otherwise, the tendency is to kind of go along with the normal pace of things, of just trying to survive. And this is why when Queen Kunti is praying, in essence, that if calamities help me to think more of you, then it's okay. Then to let calamities, constantly exist in my life. It's not that calamities have some beauty in themselves. It's not like there is a beauty. You know, the kind of Judeo-Christian ethic and cosmology kind of posits that there is beauty in suffering. Yes and no. I mean, there's, you know, it's not that God wants you to suffer. I mean, he, you know, he's just a kind of a cruel God or an autocrat that you have to suffer. And by your suffering, then he says, okay, you suffered enough. I'll come in and I'll do something. No. It's just that many times external difficulties, physical suffering, bewilderments, uncertainties, precariousness, cause us to go in more. Allows us to open up more, to take more, be more mindful of Krishna's help, to be more desperate and calling out for that help. So when Krishna sometimes blesses someone, he may put that person in a suffering condition, or Krishna, he may take away. Now, where there's weak faith, when Krishna takes away or puts us in an uncomfortable situation, we question, why me? Or we question, you know, Krishna's mercy. That was part of my reason for making that kind of prayer. I see so many devotees who are in their own kind of battles of Kurusetra, their own suffering, and they're questioning, Krishna, Prabhupada, why? This is not fair. What has happened to you, what has happened here, what has happened there, one is feeling, well, why should I suffer this much? And so because I see so many devotees thinking that way and having that experience, then I wanted to connect with that and try to be offered try to help make a difference.
Thank you, Sean.
Happy to see you.
I first want to say thank you for being my friend. And I hope Krishna can help me express what I want.
Sorry. Some of the things you were saying, one, you were mentioning about the four scenarios, and one of them you said that maybe Krishna wants me to go deeper. And my personal feeling is I think maybe that is what's needed in ISKCON today. You can see that the devotees generally become very, very cynical, and they don't have the same. They don't tend to respect the leaders like they should, as representatives of Krishna.
But you know they have reason, though.
I know that.
Because bigger than the devotees not respecting is ourselves as leaders disappointing.
That's true. I understand that. We've all experienced that. I've experienced it personally, having been reinitiated. But I'm thinking of that your desire was to help the devotees. You're seeing all the devotees suffering and all these problems. You're thinking, how can I help? You know, I want to, whatever it takes, Prabhupada, I want to, if I have to suffer, that's fine. Let me do something. And maybe Krishna's telling you, you need to go deeper because you're such a great communicator. You're very intelligent. Devotees appreciate, you know, all the books. You've inspired so many people through your books. And maybe Krishna is saying that you need to go even deeper. And I'm thinking of
Lord Chaitanya. Well, Krishna forced me to go deeper.
Yeah, Lord Chaitanya.
I mean, just knowing that you're going to leave, the potentiality that you're leaving, you go deeper.
I think maybe that's what's needed, because just like Lord Chaitanya with Ramananda Roy, and Lord Chaitanya kept telling him, go deeper. And Ramananda Roy was saying, well, this, what about this? And he said, no, deeper. And he kept pushing him and pushing him. And then I'm thinking, this is a mundane example of Stephen Hawking, was a great scientist, but he's totally immobile. He's in a wheelchair. He has to speak through a computer. But he's inspired a whole generation of people through his writings. He's so respected. And maybe, you know, that's something that maybe you're supposed to be doing through your writings, to go even deeper, to set even a higher level and to inspire a whole new generation of people.
Yeah, this was in that category of four or five things I mentioned, is that if Prabhupada's desire that I stay, and if I stay, you know, as an invalid or stay with a gradual leaving, that definitely in that process, you either curse Krishna, you know, when you're suffering, you're dying, you either curse Krishna and you think, why has this happened to me after I've done so much in trying to serve you? Or you doubt your guru, or you connect much deeper with your guru and with Krishna. And I surely hope and think that my level of consciousness is not where I reject Krishna and reject, you know, Guru. Because, you know, I feel like I've put myself in a situation. And so, you know, Prabhupada reciprocated. So I don't have, you know, Prabhupada or Krishna to blame. I can, but I do have them to appeal to. And so it's like I'm appealing with a dissatisfaction of myself and others and wanting to make a difference. So it's an appeal like that. So what you're saying is right, yeah. That's why I said it's auspicious, whatever happens, because whatever happens, I go deeper. In some cases, some of those who are connected with me as disciples go deeper. In some cases, some of the godbrothers go deeper. Every time we've had a godbrother who've left, many of us have gone a little deeper. You see. And it's sent a message because we're all a family. And because we are family, whatever happens to any member of the family, it doesn't matter, even just to Dr. Joe who watches the plates, it has its effect, you know, on the collective entity of ISKCON. And what to say with those who are designated with certain kind of commission and Prabhupada's service, whatever takes place with them affects the whole of ISKCON. See, keep in mind, somehow Prabhupada arranged for me to bring some closure to Nikirtananda situation. He used me to bring some closure to the Harikesh situation. You know, I mean, there were some interesting things, but I think also for my own benefit to try to understand this a little better, of what can come to any of us, what negative things can happen, as well as what positive things can happen. Satya Maharaj, you know, saved me. When I was Bhakti John, at least two times I would have left ISKCON, no question. Because, you know, I didn't like what I saw, you know, in the institution. When I joined the institution, I had a very diversified, you know, background, and I was very social-minded. And what I saw initially, I didn't feel comfortable that there was enough purity, enough authenticness, and I really wasn't so eager to continue, you know. And I was chatting with Satsu Maharaj, because I was, you know, trying to, I guess, scapegoat like many people do when they get ready to bloop. They try to find the problem outside instead of looking at them inside. And so he, you know, had ways to encourage me. And so, and of course, I was brought up by him in my initial years, you know, as a bhakta, and then as a first initiated, second initiated, and then even up to, you know, point of taking sannyas. So as all of us, when one senior, very, very senior devotee in our society is processing things and is being, categorized, supported, facilitated by Krishna in very emphatic ways, it's a chance to look close at ourselves. See, that's why when devotees first found out I had this diabetes, and they were praying for me, and I had sent a message to the GBC conference that I thanked them for their prayers. I surely need it, but I thanked them for their prayers. But for my case, whatever happens, I'm ready, and I'll be okay. But I asked if they could refocus those prayers for Satsu Maharaj and for Pranada as a way of trying to be in the same mood of, I got into this by being trying to be concerned. Now, this whole thing turns into just concern of me. It's not why I offer myself like this. Offer myself to be be a catalyst, as any of us can be. But see, according to need, there's also chance for service. So there's a big need now in the institution. So there's a big chance for service. I'm utilitarian, I'm opportunistic, and I saw a big chance for big service, big chance for big help and facilitation that's needed in society. I don't want to miss that chance. And so however form it comes in. See, you know, you hear me say a lot of times, we know what we want. Krishna knows what we need. So many times we may make some prayer, or we may involve ourselves in a certain way, and Krishna answers our prayer, but it doesn't come in the way that we expect it. When Prabhupada took sannyas and was preparing himself for this world mission of making all Krishna consciousness available for all of us, he got gored by a bull. Prabhupada said he was laying down on the road, you know, alone, as an old man, laying down on the road in Vrindavan in the dust. You know, just reflecting that I've given up everything in your service. And here, you know, I'm, you know, in the streets, you know, gored by a bull. So we have to understand that as we enter into deeper levels of consciousness, deeper levels of service, deeper connections of love, deeper connections of empowerment, that we have to be tested with faith. We have to be given a chance to be anti-material. We can't become transcendental without transcending. And transcendence means some confrontation. Again, the neophyte's mind, again, why must Krishna give us confrontation? Yeah. Krishna must give us ways to disconnect us from the material world, from matter. That means your body, your house, your car, just things that we normally take too much shelter of sometimes. We should use these things. You know, we're not impersonalists. We want as much as we can get so we can use it. We want to make everything active as we can in Krishna's service. We're not trying to not use things. But we must, at the same time, be aware. It's all secondary. I'll take a few more questions, and I'm going to stop. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll take the mic in the back.
I wanted to know, you're making such a sacrifice for all of us, you know, to reduce the suffering. And like you mentioned, your godbrother said, please take your prayer back. But is there some indication for your sacrifice that you're doing that there are others who are willing to make some sort of change, that you will be able to see some change? Are you getting some indication that your sacrifice will be heard?
Well, beyond a doubt, even if one person changes, two people change, you and me. You know, I'm arrogant, and I said I want a quantity of devotees to be helped or to be freed from some of their suffering by my taking on. But it's not really about quantity, it's about quality. I would like to have both. You know, I'd like to feel if I'm going to sacrifice, I want as much from the sacrifice as possible. But it's really, you know, it's really about quality. And it may just be myself, you know. I mean, I'm already benefiting. So that's why I said it's already auspicious for me. It's auspicious if Krishna decides to change the whole thing, some miracle happens and I stay. I've gotten all the prayers and I focus myself and being ready to leave and I intensify my, you know, connection with Prabhupada and at least let the devotees know more how much I do care about them personally, or how what form it may, you know, it may come in. Mm-hmm. Let's get
Swami Krishnapad, thank you so very much. When I first heard you, I guess about 17 years ago now, what struck me about you was your honesty. Mm-hmm. Having come from another group where they were not quite as open and honest as you, it really meant a lot to me and still does to this day.
And one of the reasons I may be honest is because I understand the fear. I have the fear and understand the potency of the mission in playing with Krishna. You know, when you're in a leadership position, you are having influence on people's lives. And when you don't sufficiently do things that help people in their advancement, you pay a price. And that's why we have so many leaders in our society and other spiritual organizations, where we have so many leaders who get it really heavy because there's no free rides. When you take a position, and the same as a mother, you know, you take it on a very basic level, or a father. When you're a parent, what you do in different ways affects your children. And so you just don't bring a child into the world and just think, okay, you know, you know, whatever happens, happens. Or you just put them in a boat and, like, let them drip into the river. No, what you do every day in its own way has an effect. And so when you are in leadership position, and especially when you're in spiritual leadership position, and especially when you're accepting service and accepting worship, then it means people are connecting with you psychically, spiritually, in need, and they're vulnerable. And when you're not sufficiently thinking of their best interest, you can make mistakes all over the place, but if you're not thinking of their best interest, demigods, by the arrangement of Krishna, will chastise a person heavily. Now the other side of that, I'll let you go. Come. The other side of that, if you are in a position of caretaking and you are genuinely concerned about people, then also Krishna and the devas will bring in amazing empowerment and ability to help.
Thank you so much. And please know that my goal is to take your love that you've given me all these many years to others wherever I am. Thank you.
Thank you very much. See, life has purpose if we can help somebody else have quality life. The more each of our own lives has more and more meaning and purpose, is the lives that we're able somehow to touch. You're focused on your own professional excellence, mature excellence, whatever, and even on family excellence. Although family should be your first priority, because it should start with walking your talk, seeing that your family is being given the best facilitation as possible, spiritually, socially, and maturely. But if our circle of influence is only with ourselves like this, we haven't really taken to life. We're just involved in issues of survival, and our existence is so much more than that. So much more than that. Okay.
Except my basis is, oh glory, Shri Prabhupada. Krishna arranged for me to get here today, talking about a Krishna miracle. I'm hearing two words that keep, I'm shaking my head, yes, go deeper, go deeper, go inside. And I'm saying, I want to leave from here understanding, because, yes, I'm sure all of us, as we're hearing go deeper, we're saying, yes, that's what I want to do. Can you give, I don't know, a technique, take now, you've been giving
yeah,
us so much.
Yeah, it was the first discussion, is that we have to keep putting forth the effort, knowing the effort is never sufficient. We keep putting forth the effort, like being mindful as we can, whatever we do, trying to offer that to Krishna. Trying to strengthen our own selves so that we can be able to be better servants. Because a lot of going deeper is connected with compassion. Because what is deeper? Deeper means that you begin to become more like Krishna. So deeper means that more of Krishna that's already there in each of us comes forth. Krishna is the reservoir of love. Krishna is Krishna's to Bhagavan's son. Possesses all the opulences. But his greatest opulence is his mercy, sometimes we say unconditioned souls. So going deeper means less and less thinking of our own, whatever problem it may be, but we think about it in the spirit of how to fix whatever's within us or around us, so that we can be more available to serve. Going deeper means, after all that's said and done, we realize we can't be consistent and we can't be profound enough without mercy. We don't want justice. We want mercy. Justice gives us just what we are almost qualified for, that we don't want. We want mercy. I don't want justice. Justice means that I continue going on as I'm going, and I'm I'm comfortable and I'm happy, and I'm you know, being a small reformer, small change agent. I don't want justice. That's all I deserve. I don't even deserve that. I'm not asking Prabhupada for justice in Krishna. I'm asking Prabhupada for mercy. I'm asking, let me be one of the ones who make a major transformation in this movement and make a major input in the world. And I'm saying, so position me for whatever is necessary to do that. That I feel I've lived long enough doing what I have done. I'm not ready to do only that while I see the degree of suffering, that I'm ready to change it some way or other. So Prabhupada is going to use me to help change something, or he's going to say, as I said, then if you're not ready to continue with what is going on and accept it at that level, then I'll send you somewhere else. Okay.
Mm-hmm. You've mentioned in the past that at all the significant times in your life, Prabhupada has come to give you specific guidance when decisions were to be made. And I was wondering, when the guru is gone for disciples, how do we position ourselves and open ourselves up to receive that internal instruction and guidance at significant times and at every moment?
I mentioned that major times in my life, points of indecisiveness, Prabhupada has reached out for me in some distinct way to give me clarity about what decision to take or which way to go. I'm waiting for that decision now because I think Prabhupada is actually deliberating himself whether I stay or go. I was reflecting how I probably had cancer when I first had this biopsy a long time ago. Because it was around that time, over 10 years ago, I had this vision of Prabhupada sitting on the Vyasa seat. And he reached from the Vyasa seat with his foot and he touched this particular foot. And so I think that I even had cancer then, and it was postponed. Now that could be from the past. That could be a vision of the future.
Mm-hmm. Gurudevan, as a spiritual warrior.
See, Prabhupada, you know, before Prabhupada left the planet, remember when I came in, and I'm just trying to updating you so that you realize that what I'm talking about now, I'm a sentimental person, but I'm not being a sentimentalist. Nor am I. Am I bathing and just thinking that to be some kind of martyr? You know, I ain't there. I don't like pain any more than anybody else. But when Prabhupada was leaving the planet, when he came to England, when the boys were carrying him, and from there then he went back to India and he left. When Prabhupada heard that I had come in from Romania, or from Germany, I think, Prabhupada called me into the room. If I could barely speak in those days. Most of you know have heard the story from somewhere, or heard it from me once. Prabhupada was behind his desk, and he called me. Krishna Shetra was there, myself, and one of the devotees who later left his body from Germany, from Hungary. And so we were all about where Lila Katha was. And then Prabhupada called me closer, and I came right up to in front of his desk. And then he called me around him. And then Prabhupada was crying, and he embraced me and rubbed my head. Something he said, I didn't get at first. But then what he said later, he says, your life is successful. So Prabhupada gave me some kind of blessing at that time. He injected something into, you know, obviously consciousness, body, whatever. And so, therefore, if Prabhupada's saying that, maybe to encourage me, maybe it's what he really wanted to let me know, then my kind of prayer now, that I have accomplished everything I ever wanted to do materially, I've accomplished everything I wanted to do spiritually except become fully pure. So my life is kind of complete now, other than being able to help others more and being able to become pure. And so it was like, okay, now, so it's time. like that. Okay. Mm-hmm. See, the amazing thing is some of you have heard me throw out a couple of things in the last, see, it's all coming together now. In the last year and a half, you've heard me say distinct things about effort, about mercy, about suffering, and about, you know, also about leaving. So, you know, this shouldn't be any shock. Yeah.
I have several questions, Gurudev. One is are you excited in some way?
Very.
About joining your spiritual master? Because if I were in your situation,
mm-hmm.
I would be ecstatic
mm-hmm.
if I were to join you. Are you excited about that?
I'm excited in many ways. Our conception of time here is altogether different than the spiritual realm. How many lifetimes we spend here is only moments in the spiritual realm. So in moments, I'll be back with my spiritual master. In moments, we'll all be back with Krishna. Anyway. At the same time, we have to deal with this seemingly hard present reality. I'm excited that Prabhupada has accepted my prayer. I am fearful of how it may unfold. If Prabhupada says, if I feel Prabhupada says, get the foot amputated, even though the cancer may come back, I wouldn't like that. Because I wouldn't like to be around with what I would consider a quality less life. But I'm ready for that. I would prefer probably to just go to, you know, Mayapur and fast, you know, and feel well. I'm going to get intensified even more as I do this. Also, people will also have some effect by this, you know. But that's not my level of service, you know, to my guru. I don't want it to be that level, even if it is that level. And so, therefore, my offering was what? I mean, look at my beggar book that I wrote, you know, over 10 years ago. I asked Prabhupada to take away my free will. I asked Prabhupada and Krishna, it is this free will that's kept me in material bodies lifetime after lifetime. So my decisions weren't so good. So I've offered my free will back. That for years and years and years, I write diaries. You know, up until I started writing the beggar books, I'd write a diary to Prabhupada. You know, prayer every day. And for some of those years, I wrote my prayers in the mood of Vasudev Datta. I started my entry in that mood of, allow me to be used to incur, experience, whatever may help others. So this is like nothing new for me. This is like something I was doing, you know, over 20 years ago. So that means then I'm excited that things have sped up. It's bewildering because it happened so fast. I'm bewildered, of course, about we see every time someone does go, the kind of confusion that it also causes, you know. I'm at the same time excited because I'm just as well ready to accept that I leave or Prabhupada just turns this into complete reverse, you know. I think either one is just as strong as the other. But it's based on whether he feels the reverse will help me to serve his mission better here or not. And that's kind of, you know, where the real issue is. And maybe the devotee's prayers or what he feels that I could do may determine whether he lets me stay or let me go. But I've asked no devotees, God brothers as well as disciples, others, to pray that I stay. I've asked them to pray that whatever will be more pleasing to Prabhupada, that will have more of a spiritual effect for what he wants to happen, that happens. Okay. Just had been given. When Prabhupada was taken away, it was a sign that the teacher has written the message on the board. Now the work has to go on. See, it's easy to be a good student when the teacher is right in the room. Sometimes people aren't even good students then. But the real test is when the teacher is gone. Someone asked me the other day, how can an institution go on when its leaders, you know, its leaders keep leaving? I said, that's the real institution. Is that leaders do leave, even Krishna, when he comes, he goes. But the real institution is an internal institution. The external is the propaganda, the arrangement of for propagating to the message. And the message is an internal message. And so that message never goes, and sometimes the physicality interferes with focusing more on the internal message. So then, when the physical mentor goes, then we see when Prabhupada left, there were some cases where one or two leaders blooped after 1 year. I mean, high up in the order. And there were other cases where, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people, actually thousands, moved to the sideline after a while. But at the same time, if you look at the major of the leadership in our movement, is that we've all gotten stronger since Prabhupada left. Even though we all have our different issues, and we fight amongst ourselves, we have so many different things, but practically every major leader who is prominent in ISKCON has gotten stronger since Prabhupada left. Now, to what degree they've gotten stronger, that's between them and Srila Prabhupada. Because now Prabhupada wasn't physically there to remind us or tell us. And so now we had to go closer and listening to his tapes closer, reading his books, reflecting even more on things that he used to tell us, and praying more that, you know, we don't embarrass him. See, these things, it makes you or breaks you. Now, some of the devotees also after that, they could not understand the movement going on. They went to rhythmic philosophy, went to this thing, that thing. Or their genuine disturbances that they had, genuine challenges, which were genuine, but it was the faith wasn't strong enough for them to continue. And so they allowed these genuine problems to cause them, you know, to leave the royal path of bhakti. Some didn't leave. Some just got on the sidelines. But some have also left. Many on the sidelines, and they will definitely get more involved when there's crisis in their life. Like there's some people who were Prabhupada disciples, and when Prabhupada left, they had trouble or later. But then once they came down with brain cancer or they came down with, you know, heavy hepatitis or whatever, the whole Krishna consciousness kicked in very deep again. Prabhupada gave them a slow death so they had a chance to really defocus and really, and they left. You know, they left Krishna consciousness. Anyway, maybe I'll take one or two more, and I think we should stop. Mm-hmm. Yes. What we'll do, we'll go to 10, I guess it's 10:15 now. Maybe we go to 10:30.
Okay. Maharaj, I guess as kind of a follow-up to Prema's question.
What I need to do,
somebody can read this letter for Bhakti Charu Maharaj while I go to the restroom. Buddy Kumaraj called me the other day. We had a little conversation. And then he sent this to somebody. And then someone forwarded to, I think, to the BT Swami group. So I'll make you guys read that for a second.
From Bhakti Charu Maharaj. Yesterday afternoon, after learning about Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's diagnosis, I phoned him at the phone number that Rompad Maharaj very kindly provided. Although I was feeling very emotional, Maharaj greeted me in such a hearty way that the heaviness of my heart was immediately dissipated. I had an extremely enlivening and uplifting discussion with Maharaj for about half an hour. Maharaj felt an overwhelming concern about the state of affairs in ISKCON. There are so many difficulties in our movement. So many devotees are losing faith in Krishna consciousness. So many children have been abused. So many marriages are breaking up. There is so much suffering. He wished that he could do something to help our movement overcome these crises, and he felt the most effective way to do so is by purifying himself. He considered that in ISKCON, he has gotten everything. He is traveling, preaching, attending seminars, meeting very important people. In this way, he felt that he is enjoying his situation as a leader of ISKCON. He prayed to Srila Prabhupada that this is not what he should really want. What he really wanted is purification. He asked Srila Prabhupada to help him become purified. Maharaj considers that this is actually his purification. He feels that his only goal now, as it has always been, is that whatever Srila Prabhupada desires, whatever Krishna desires, let that be. He prays to them that in whatever situation he is, he can take that opportunity to preach Krishna consciousness and become a better devotee. Maharaj is certainly one of the most wonderful, exemplary devotees in our movement. I remember when Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan during his final pastimes, many devotees would write to His Divine Grace, but Prabhupada was most interested in hearing the letters about book distribution. Among the letters describing book distribution, I very vividly recall that Prabhupada was very eager to receive letters from Bhaktitirtha Maharaj describing how he was distributing books behind the Iron Curtain. In one of his letters, Maharaj narrated that he was in a university when he sensed that someone was following him. Obviously, there were many spies in the communist countries in those days. In order to escape, he opened a door and walked into the room. It happened to be an office, and the gentleman sitting inside turned out to be a professor in the university. Maharaj pretended as if he had come to see him. They started to talk, and not only did Maharaj escape from the spy, but he sold the professor a set of books. He would write about so many such exciting experiences. Bhaktitirtha Maharaj is not an ordinary soul. He is a very, very special personality. Although it pains us to see him in this condition, one thing is certain. Krishna uses his devotees for his own special purposes. In the course of doing so, he rewards them most wonderfully. Obviously, Krishna will reward someone who is so sincere and wants to become purified. Krishna must have a wonderful plan for Maharaj. In due course, it will be revealed to us. Maharaj says that he does not mind if he has to leave because he feels that wherever he goes, Krishna will allow him to serve him. But I express that he has to stay because our movement needs him. A Vaishnava like him purifies just by his darshan, what to speak of getting his wonderful association. I pray to Srila Prabhupada that he takes care of this very dear son.
Was there another question?
Yeah. I was just wondering, for our community, as you check in on us years and decades down the road, what do you want to see in us individually and in this community? What do you want to see?
Where someone can look at the disciple or grand disciple of Srila Prabhupada and be able to feel how unique and special Krishna consciousness is just by the experience that they have, you know, with that person. For myself and others to be more authentic carriers of Krishna consciousness in action. And that means that we take more concern, you know, about our sadhana. We read with in the mood of a warrior. We chant in the mood of a warrior. In the mood that we're going out to battle. And so in going to battle, we have to have proper ammunition. So we're reading, going out, engaged in battle, checking the Maya, and also on a rescue mission. We chant in the spirit that this is our own email connection, fax connection, telephone connection with Krishna. We don't have to pay for it. We don't have to worry about interference or Krishna not being available. Is that as we chant, any place we are, that we can call on Krishna. And knowing that there is, you know, millions of different universes, billions of people who have not accepted Krishna in this lifetime, And those few who have an amazing opportunity to be global transformers. But it starts with transforming our own universe first. See, now that may sound theoretical and conceptual, because on a day-to-day people have to somehow be able to appreciate each other. You don't have to accept how another person thinks. You don't have to artificially force yourself to like another person's personality. But if somehow you can't connect with that person on genuine spiritual terms, then that's your problem. It's not theirs. Maya loves to see the devotees having different in-house issues where they minimize the chance to be able to create synergy. Or they minimize the chance to recognize that that is a Vaishnava who has also come from who knows what universe to be able to be on the planet at this time to participate, you know, in this way. See, there's a serious number of higher beings have come into the planet now, and they're doing their various kinds of work. But the kind of being, you know, that brings personal knowledge of the Godhead is like very unusual. So that brings in another level of, you know, of attacks of Maya. It brings in a whole another brigade of, you know, heavy onslaughts. So it's like when Prabhupada was once saying, how it's not amazing when someone falls or leaves Krishna consciousness. What's amazing if someone stays? It's not amazing when you go out in the front of the battle and you are, you know, you're under, you know, ongoing attack. It's not amazing that some people get wounded. Some people die. What's amazing is some have been, some can do like that and somehow they, you know, they come back. So it's not amazing when we see people drop out or become bewildered or get too disturbed, you know, and then justify it. You can feel, well, I don't like this person, or this is not a problem. And then you decide, because of that, you're not going to chant your rounds. Because of that, you're not going to, you know, do some service, or you're not going to do that. Yeah, but that is there, but we're supposed to be able to do that in spite of, you know, these other things. You won't find one acharya, or even one prophet, who didn't have maximum attacks and interferences. But they didn't allow that to stop them. No. These things must be there. We all must have some very heavy obstacles in our lives, you know, that we have to transcend. Okay, we got about two more questions or so. If we don't have those obstacles, we don't grow our muscles. It's in these last few days, and just knowing that I'm more than likely out of here, and everything becomes more intense, you know, of what I think, what I say, and how I'm with you, everything becomes more intense. And that intensity we want. We may not want it in this form, we may not expect it to come in such a way, but that we want.
Mm-hmm. This may seem like a very mundane question.
No. It's important to you, it's important to me.
But when we're faced with like a life-changing challenge, it's easy to put everything aside and say, I'm just going to focus on Krishna consciousness because it's clear. It doesn't matter. You don't have to do email at that point. You don't have to return somebody's phone call because you're just doing what's necessary. Mm-hmm. But meanwhile, the rest of the time, I have so many things to do that it appears they must be done.
Yes.
How do I find time to balance? How is it possible to balance and maintain the focus while at the same time doing all of the necessary things? It seems practically impossible every day.
Yeah, it can't seem hard when you have to deal with, you know, day-to-day economic, social issues, etc. How to be very intense. Easy to be intense when Krishna knocks you on your back and you can't. Easy to be intense when I can't walk and I got to crawl around or jump around, I can move. But even with that, I still answered email and answered. They've always a little disturbed that I answered the phones. You know, today I decided that, okay, I won't now. But I'm still doing active email like that. But it's in a different mood still, though. Because now it's, yeah, that's there. It's easier to see it as secondary. So we should be like the paramour who is with another but always thinking of her lover. At the same time, doing everything so nice so it will not be noticed that she has a paramour. Therefore, we should not deny or neglect the day-to-day genuine things that we have to do. But at the same time, we must be even more careful that while we do all of this, that at the end of the day, if we can't do it during the day, at the end of the day, we should really simplify it and realize, I'm trying this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this. Krishna, I hope I please you. If doing this, Krishna, please don't let me get too distracted. Please allow me to offer this to you so that that becomes an offering. Otherwise, we get into a schizoid personality. We think we have our spiritual self and we have our family and social and economic self. But no, it's the same. And therefore, we do all of these things nicely as we see that as what Krishna has given us in our own, you know, life space. And then it doesn't become such a schizoid kind of thing. We're jumping in and jumping out, now trying to get back into our spiritual life. No, everything is now expression of your spiritual life. Okay, who's going to ask the last question? Okay, we'll get someone who hasn't asked. Okay. I'll take yours and then we'll stop. Okay. See, like I'm saying, now, Princess, now. Now we're talking about deep existential things. But every one of you, including myself, we got things we have to do. So we don't stop those things, you know. Those things have to go on. We have to have a balance. We can stay here for 5 hours. But there's certain essential things that's in your life now that you have to be about. Now, the same time we came here, that was important, but other things are there. It's all a part for offering to Krishna.
Mm-hmm. Guru Maharaj, you spoke about us becoming empowered and us, you know, trying to, you know, serve effort and mercy. And I wanted to know, what specifically do we do to clear away our false ego, particularly things like false pride, arrogance, so we can actually be proper humble servants doing everything that we can in order to push on this mission?
Don't worry, Krishna will help you.
Tattvamasi. And another, the correlation of body as Radha and Atma as a Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain something?
Yes, there are different ways of how we can do Manaseva, different ways we can think of Krishna himself, different ways we can think of the divine couple. It's like we can think of Krishna as Radharani. Radharani is the Ladini Shakti, or the internal pleasure expansion of Krishna. Same Krishna, but Krishna's internal pleasure. We can also see Durga as an expansion of Radharani, which is ultimately coming from Krishna. So Durga is the material energy, and Radharani is the personification of the spiritual potency. So there are different ways of how we can extend our reflection from Krishna from a distance and bring our reflection to Krishna in. And so we can think of, yes, the body as Krishna in certain ways, or Krishna's own, you know, you see the Rata Rupa form. The soul, a little more complex, because although we are the Atma, there is also the Paramatma. So that Paramatma is Krishna. We can say that Paramatma is Krishna and Radha and Balaram and everybody all together, yes. Or we can just say that Paramatma is Narayan, you know. But it's Krishna, along with the Atma. And so this can help us to try to be looking. Let me end with this point. We should be searching. It's like if you are desperate. You're out someplace and you're starving, you're just looking for, you're dying of thirst and food, and you're just searching for water and food. And your whole mind is just focused on that. And you're moving about and you're going places, and you're seeing people, whatever, but where your mind is food, water. We should be searching for Krishna like that. And then in our mind, that we're doing so many things, we should realize it's not that somebody dies and somebody doesn't. Everybody goes. It's not that somebody has some very abrupt change in their life. Everybody does at different times. It's just a matter of what form that abrupt change comes in. It's not a matter that somebody has something thrust upon them that they didn't expect or even that they didn't want. Everybody does. And all of those everybodies are still under the same Krishna who loves them more and loves us more than we can ever imagine. As we said earlier, Krishna's love sometimes comes in a very direct calling, and sometimes it comes from the side, and sometimes it comes from the back. And when it comes from the side, it's bewildering. When it comes from the back, it's often disturbing. But when you realize that it's another expression of Krishna's love, then it helps us to regroup, because it's still overwhelming, but it helps us to regroup, you know, to be receivers of that love. So everything I said about what I'm trying to position myself for and the possibilities could be all summarized into that Krishna's love is very powerful. Prabhupada's love is very powerful. I would like to help to see it come through a little more and be experienced a little more. And I want to help to be one of the catalysts to help with that in some way. This is really all that I'm saying, really, in the whole process, you know, of this discussion that we're having. So let's, you know, as I said, you know, you pray for yourself. Pray for me if you want. You pray for me, you pray that whatever Prabhupada desires to use me to help you or to help his mission. And whatever comes up after, you know, these next weeks or months or I don't know how long, you know, if some change happens and I'm seeing, you know, and I do stay, I've changed the body. The body has changed. You know, I'm not the same as I was 2 weeks ago before finding this out. So the body has already changed in terms of consciousness. Some things with the physical body also. So now, to what degree the change takes place, what it means also, more abrupt out of this body. But Prabhupada is kind of, not kind of, but Prabhupada has already answered a major part of my prayer that in my own case, the body has changed. Now how I can impact on the ISKCON body, let us see. How I impact upon your body, let's see. So, again, my selfish thing has come about. In my case, body has changed. Not quite the way I expected. Faster than I expected. But that is Krishna's time, Prabhupada's time. And now myself, who will always be meticulously using my time in a certain way of how I had planned, now I have to realize it's all in your hands, Krishna and Prabhupada. So let us all try to make that prayer more. You know, ask the devotees in Mayapur this year. You know, put all this together with everything else I said. That you look at, and I got to stop now because I think we need to stop. I need to take medicine. I got 30 different medicines and I got to take my sugar test and things. So we look at my past. Let's do this now. You know, when you have time, look at my last Vyas Puja offering. Look at this one when it comes out. Look at the preface of my Spiritual Warrior 4 and 5. All these cases I'm talking about, the misery, the suffering, wanting to make a change. And that, you know, look at the prayers and the beggar. So nothing new is being discussed in this way. It's really nothing new under the sun. It's just what, how things unfold. We had quality time together. You know, I feel we all had wonderful experiences. Now how we see each other later, we'll see. You know. Okay? But still be desperate in knowing Krishna is there. And the same Krishna that brought each of us to Krishna consciousness and to somehow allow us to continue is there to bring us all the way in. That never stops. Okay. ISKCON founded Chada Srila Prabhupada ki. Sri Sri Vara Gopinath Vara Asaima Sunda ki. Okay, so see you guys soon.